So we're just teaching through the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 27. Jesus has been handed over to Pilate. He's been whipped. He's been beaten. He's been hung on the cross. While on the cross, people came by and mocked him, and the Jewish leaders mocked him. The people on the cross, the other crosses, the robbers mocked him. And so, and then he dies on the cross. When he dies, there's been darkness for 3 hours. There's an earthquake. The rocks split. Tombs are opened. You got to think of tombs in their culture like a cave with a stone. So to open the tomb, an earthquake shakes and the stone rolls and the tomb's open. That's kind of, don't think of tombs like we've got them here. So the tombs are open. The curtain in the temple is torn from the top to the bottom with an indication of, we don't need this anymore. What is the point of this temple now? Yeah. And we talked last week about, you know, how the curtain is a separator. The curtain separates what's behind it from what's in front of it, but it's torn. That separation between us and God, gone. Why? The cross, that's what's going on here. The cross is what gives us access to God. If there is no cross, there is no access to God at all. Can't have it. But the cross opens up access to God himself directly because we're cleansed through the cross. All of this takes place. And it took place in what we talked about last week. So now where we are, Jesus is dead. Now, you've all been to funerals before, so you understand this dealing with people who just died, because you've dealt with it. The emotion, just think of the emotions there. The emotion is grief. It's part of life. It's normal. And everyone in life has to deal with this. And this week, we're going to look at people who are having to deal with this. Because the guy they love just died. Unexpectedly. They weren't expecting this turn of events. They thought he was Messiah. Messiahs don't die. And so this is a different kind of earthquake. This is an earthquake in their lives that's going on when Jesus died on the cross, and they have to deal with it. And so we're going to look today at his burial. And so we're in Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to start reading in verse 57. It says, "When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb." And we'll just stop there. That's all we're going to cover today. It's just that section, just the burial of Jesus. So Jesus died on a Friday afternoon. It was about 3 p.m., roughly, from what we read last week. when he dies. The next day is the Sabbath. And in Jewish culture, the Sabbath begins at sundown. So the Sabbath, it goes from sundown to sundown. So it's going to begin at sundown Friday night. So they've got, I don't know, 3-4 hours, something like that, after Jesus dies, before the Sabbath begins. And so it's late in the afternoon. Verse 57 says, when it was evening. That word evening doesn't necessarily mean evening like we mean. It doesn't mean it's dark. It doesn't mean even that the sun's going down right now. All it means is it's late. That's the idea. If you want to just think of that, if you're thinking evening as in dark, you've got the wrong idea. It's late. That is the right idea. And so at a late time on the Friday afternoon, this rich guy named Joseph comes. He's from a village called Arimathea. So he's Joseph of Arimathea. So how they identify him here. And so he comes to Pilate and he asks for the body of Jesus. Now, the fact that Joseph was rich fulfills prophecy, because Isaiah 53, you know, the suffering servant, Isaiah 53:9 says this. It speaks of the suffering servant, his grave being with the rich. It's Isaiah 53:9. That's probably why Matthew mentions the fact that Joseph is rich, because he's tying it to the prophecy that the grave of the suffering servant would be with the rich. Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, it says. That what that shows is that not all of the Jewish leaders opposed Jesus. That now, most of them did. Those in the council, you know, the council's majority certainly did oppose Jesus. But there were some notable Jewish leaders who did not oppose Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea was actually a disciple of Jesus. And we're going to see Nicodemus also he supported Jesus. And so Joseph goes to Pilate to request the body of Jesus for burial. Typically, a crucified criminal would not receive any burial at all. Typically, the crucified criminal, they would throw his body into a garbage heap and just let it rot.
Or they would just leave it up there.
Or they would leave it up there. Well, at some point, they had to take it down eventually. And they just throw it to the dogs or whatever. But Pilate, as the governor, had authority to grant exceptions to what's normal. And Joseph comes and makes a request. And this did happen. There are actually other examples of people being crucified where someone came to the authorities and requested the body, usually the family or friends or somebody. And they would grant, oftentimes, that request. And so Joseph gets the body, and he takes it to a new tomb that he had just cut out of the rock, it says in Matthew. It's late. Sabbath is coming. They have a job to do. They need to bury Jesus. They need to bury this body in this tomb, and they need to do it before Sabbath. And so they've got a few hours, and so they have to work quickly with what they're doing. You just kind of imagine what's going on here. And so what they're going to do is they're going to take the body, and they're first going to wash the body. And so they probably have buckets of water and, I don't know, sponges or rags or whatever, and they're washing the body of Jesus off, all the blood and all of the, you know, whatever. They've got to remove all of that. And so that's step one. Then they're going to wrap the body with a linen cloth and with some spices. Now, Matthew doesn't mention the spices, but John does. And John tells us that Nicodemus, also a Jewish leader, shows up with about, in American pounds, about 75 pounds of spices. He's got approximately that. And so they're going to take the spices and the shroud, and they're going to clean Jesus and then wrap him in the, with the spices and the shroud. And this is just their burial custom. And they're then going to put him in the tomb and roll the rock in front of it. That's the job that they have to do. And so Joseph is there. Nicodemus, we know, is there from John. Matthew tells us there are two Marys that are there, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, he calls her. So the other Mary might be Mary, the mother of Joseph, and I forget who it is. They mention him in the other Gospels. It's probably that Mary. They probably had servants as well who were probably there. Joseph is a rich man. He's got servants. He probably has some servants helping him. Nicodemus also is a rich man. He probably has servants. So there may be actually quite a few people working on this. Now, sometimes people will tell you that this burial account did not happen. And they will say that it did not happen because Jews did not embalm their dead. And that's actually true. Jews did not embalm their dead. Embalming is what the Egyptians did. If you think of, so embalming, the purpose of embalming is you wrapped, you think of Egyptians like mummies, you know what we're, you see, they wrap them in cloth, right? And they actually put, I don't know what it is they put, spices or
bunch
of stuff, and they actually stuff the body with that stuff. And what it does is it preserves the body. That's the purpose of embalming, to preserve the body. Jews did not do that. And so there are people who have said, actually, I've had Muslims tell me this, that have said, Jesus, this account that Jesus being buried is false because we know that Jews did not embalm bodies. And it's true, Jews did not embalm bodies. But you know what they did do? They did use spices, and they did wrap the bodies. But the purpose was not to preserve the body. The spices were there primarily for odor, not to preserve the body. And Jews, because the spices are really expensive, this was done only for rich people. And so if you were a normal person, you didn't even get this. But we have records of Jews, rich Jews, being buried, and they have spices and they wrap the body, and there are records outside the Bible of that kind of thing. But they did not embalm them. But that doesn't mean this didn't happen. This actually was their burial custom. And so, so Jesus is getting the burial of a rich man in more ways than one. Joseph wants to honor him. And he's doing what he can to honor his Lord in death. That's what Joseph is doing. Now, as Joseph and all of his helpers who are with him are getting the body from the Romans, and they're washing it, and they're wrapping it with the spices, and they're preparing the tomb where they're going to lie him. And as they're doing all of this, it doesn't take great imagination to know that they are full of grief as they're doing this. They're doing a job, but there's emotions inside them while they're doing a job. And this is not a happy time. There's no joking going on while they're doing this. Nothing lighthearted. They're not singing songs unless they're dirges. They're probably quietly, somberly doing their work. Whatever talking occurs is probably whatever talking they need to do in order to get their job done. Hand me that rag. Can you lift his legs? Is the body clean yet? Let's dry him off. Here's the shroud. Now, this is the kind of talking that's probably going on as they're doing this. We at least need to get him wrapped. The Sabbath is almost here. There are tears while they're doing this. There are probably sobs while they're doing this. There are memories, because that's what happens, you know. You've been to funerals. There are memories, aren't there? There are memories of Jesus healing a leper or Jesus teaching about the kingdom. They're remembering some of his teachings and his healings, of Jesus eating with them, probably of Jesus laughing. And the memories are bringing more tears, because that's what happens when you start thinking back to the past and all of the good times. Some of them are thinking, we thought he was the Messiah. They're thinking that. He was their hope. And so this is more than just good memories being ending. This is also everything they had hoped in is gone. And so there's that they have to deal with as well. All those hopes are dashed. And that brings more tears. This is what's going on as they're wrapping a body and washing a body and, you know, doing what they're doing. This is grief, is what this is. This is part of life. Jesus' disciples experienced grief to the fullest. And so will you and I. Our loved ones die too. Our hopes get dashed too. It still happens today. We have memories of loved ones and eating and laughing and singing, and they're being there for us. We have those memories. And the memories bring tears. And we've had to bury loved ones where there is no more hope of seeing them here on earth. And this is normal. And God is with you in the pain. He's with you. And of course, we know in Christ that the grief, the pain, is not the end of the story in Christ. See, in this story, in another couple days, that grief is going to become joy. That's going to happen. Where we are in the story, we're at the furthest, you know, think of a curve on a graph. We're at the bottom. Algebra. We're at the very bottom, but it's coming up. And we know that. And maybe I'm being presumptuous and jumping the gun by mentioning the resurrection here, because these people Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and Mary and Mary and all the servants who are with him and the disciples who are not here. The disciples have run and hid. All of those people, they actually don't know a resurrection is coming.
Well, they should, though.
They should, but they don't know. They don't know what's coming. Now, you and I, we know the story. We know what's coming. And so for us, in the midst of our burials, our funerals, our dying loved ones, our dashed hopes, we know what's coming. We know there's a resurrection for those who are in Christ. We know there's a final hope for those who are in Christ. We know there are no more tears, no more pain. We know this. It doesn't mean that it takes away the pain completely, but we know this. We still experience the fullness of grief, because that's life. But we know that grief is not the end of the story in Christ. Now, this burial is really a preparation for the resurrection. This is part of what needs to happen. God here is taking care of his anointed one. I told you that crucified criminals were typically not given burial. They were thrown to the dogs. That's typically what they did. There was no honorable burial at all for them. Jesus is supposed to be shamed. Crucified criminals are shamed. They're shamed on the cross, and then when they're dead, their body is shamed by not giving them any burial. That's just the way the system worked. But this burial is giving Jesus honor. Not shame. They're honoring him in his death by giving him a proper burial. What this burial does is it keeps Jesus' body intact rather than throwing him to the dogs and the body's gone. It also gives Jesus' body a very specific location that everyone knows about. Everyone in town knows. Yeah, Jesus, he's in that tomb right over there. That's going to be significant when there's a resurrection. And that tomb right over there is empty. Because they know that his body's, that's where his body was. And so this burial is really a preparation for that. It's a preparation for the resurrection that's coming. This burial also upsets the Jewish leaders. They wanted Jesus shamed as much as possible. They want it proven beyond any doubt that this is not the Messiah, and we're going to shame him as much as we can shame him. And that's what they wanted. Giving him an honorable burial is not shaming him. And so the Jewish leaders are not happy with this burial because he's being honored. Now, make no mistake, there was plenty of shame on the cross. The scripture says, Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame. And so the scripture says there's shame on the cross. And so there is, but now it's honor. This is not what the Jewish leaders desired, nor is it what they expected. They expected Jesus' body to be treated just like every other crucified criminal's body. Joseph of Arimathea threw them a curveball. They didn't know Joseph was going to come and request the body from Pilate, but he did. And they don't like this burial. It worries them. It says at least this, he still has influential followers. He's got some guy who's got a lot of money who really wants to honor him. And he's got a lot of followers still. And these followers, they're treating him as an honored and respected man even after his death. And that's not what the Jewish leaders wanted. They may have been happy when Jesus was hanging on the cross and all the people would pass by and mock him while he was on the cross. And they're seeing this and they're seeing, oh, this is good. The Jewish, just the people, the regular people are mocking him. They were happy about that. The Jewish leaders were happy when they saw that. But they are not happy now that a wealthy and influential man has shown him love and respect and honor. Now we're going to see when we talk next week, when they go to Pilate, the Jewish leaders are going to go to Pilate and request a guard. They're actually going to talk about this burial and so on. And we're going to see that they're not happy because they're actually going to go to Pilate and request a guard to deal with this issue. They have to wait, though, a day because they don't really even know this is going to happen until it's almost Sabbath. And it's too late for them to do anything about it today. That's why they go the next day. But God is in this burial. God's in this burial. And there is nothing they can do about it. They want Jesus utterly shamed, but Jesus is God's chosen one. And God is going to honor him in the end. And that's the way it is. And they can't do a thing about it. It doesn't matter what they want. God is going to overrule what they want. Because God can do that. And he is going to do that. They may be in positions of authority within the Jewish hierarchy, but God sits on the throne. They can do whatever, and God can do whatever. And God outranks them. God may allow Jesus to be shamed for a time, because Jesus on the cross is taking on our shame for our sin. He's taking it on himself. But God insists that Jesus will be honored, and it starts now with Joseph of Arimathea. That's what's happening. And so the honor of Christ actually begins before the resurrection of Christ. The honor of Christ begins with his burial. It comes as soon as they take him down from the cross. Once his body is taken off of the cross, that's where he's got the shame. They take him off of the cross and the shame ends. Jesus has been taken away from the Romans and he's been taken away from the Jewish leaders. They no longer have control over Jesus. They had control over him for a short time, and God allowed it for a purpose because God was punishing the sins of the world. But the punishment is complete. Jesus said, "It is finished. It's done. The shame is gone now." Now the body is being controlled by his followers. And he gets different treatment from his followers than he gets from Rome or the Jewish leaders. And so they had their appointed time to do with him what they did with him. But their time is up. God is sovereign. The sovereign God takes care of his people. That may seem an odd statement to make given the fact that Jesus just died. And yet, God is with him. The sovereign God takes care of his people even in death. Even in something like a burial, a funeral. He takes care of his people. And we need to see God in this event. We need to see God working in and through Joseph of Arimathea and all the people that are with him, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, Nicodemus, whatever, whoever the servants were there. We need to see God working in and through those people on behalf of Jesus. Because God is all over this event. And we need to see God not just in this burial, but in all of the griefs that you and I deal with today. We need to see him there as well. Because he doesn't just disappear. When sadness happens, God doesn't pull back and say, deal with it. That's not how God works. He's with us in the midst of those things. Because God's there. We need to see that, because he's really there. Do you see him? Here. In our difficulties and sadnesses, in griefs, in pains, in tears, and all of the stuff that happens, do you see God? Or do you just see pain? There is no place so dark that God cannot light it. That's a paraphrase from Corey Tenboom. I can't remember. That's actually not a quote, but that's the idea. You can't out-dark God. Light shines in the dark. Whatever darkness you face with God, there's light. Let's pray. Blessed be your name, Lord. We thank you that you reign, that you sit on the throne, that you will carry out your will and do what you desire. We thank you that you are with us always. And that whatever we go through, you help us through it. Thank you that you honor your people in the end. Thank you that we know we're going to a place where there are no more tears and there is no more pain, and we're going to see you face to face. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Thank you that all of that is true. We bless you. We give you glory. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and the cross that wipes away our sin and the resurrection that overcomes death and darkness. Hallelujah to your name. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.